God's grace is yours in Jesus. Amen. In the name of Him, in the name of Him who is the giver of every good and perfect gift, dear fellow redeemer. Tell me, if we were to go back exactly 1 year ago today, is there a single one of us who could have predicted what Christmas Eve 2020 would look like? I mean, last year, we had chairs in the aisles, we had a record attendance, you guys were squeezed in like sardines. Today, what, 25% capacity? Every other row empty? Last year, we watched as the children, with all their smiles, came up for the children's lesson, and today, we can't see any smiles. They're all covered by masks. A year ago today, we sang the Christmas carols throughout the whole service. And today, we listen to somebody else sing them, and maybe get to sing too at the end. All of which may leave us feeling a little disappointed. It's like, is that it? Is that Christmas? Kind of reminds me of when little Johnny is looking forward to opening that present under the tree that's shiny and bright, and he's expecting it's going to be a toy or some candy or a video game, and he opens it up and it's some socks. And a notebook. And he looks around like, is that it? Is that all I get for Christmas? What started as great anticipation ended up with great disappointment. I wonder if maybe that's an emotion that we all feel a little bit of as we look back over this whole year. I mean, 2020 started with such promise, right? Stock market booming, economy going great guns, the year of the Olympics, the year of the election, and maybe we were looking forward to a confirmation or a wedding or a graduation, and then came COVID. It's like everything got canceled. It wasn't what we expected. We're thinking, is that it? After a year started with such promise, it ends up being a dud. And we're left being disappointed. You know, I wonder if the people back in Bethlehem maybe felt some of those same feelings. I mean, they had all been hearing about the coming of the Messiah. They were looking forward to that. They knew all the promises about how He was going to be a serpent crusher, and He was going to be the Son of the Most High, and He would be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He'd have a kingdom that would stretch from one end of the earth to the other. And yet, when Jesus was born, if somebody would have stuck his head in that stable and looked around, and he smelled a little bit and saw that baby in the arms of two poor parents, he might have thought, is this it? Is this how God Almighty enters the world? That's not what I would have expected. That's not how I would have written up the plan. In fact, I wonder if we sometimes have those same feelings about the things going on in our lives. I mean, we all have hopes. We have expectations of what we hope will happen. We hope that we'll live a relatively pain-free life. We expect that maybe we'll get married and have kids or grandkids. We love a world that is filled with people who are kinder and gentler and respect each other. And then some of the things we hope for don't happen. And we're left thinking, God, is that it? Is this how it's got to be? Those feelings of excitement turn into feelings of disappointment. The question is, how do we deal with that? How do we cope when the things going on in our world aren't what we expected, aren't what we hoped for? Or put it another way, when things don't go as we hoped, where do we find our hope? The answer to that question is found in a gift. A gift that God has given to each one of us. A gift that we celebrate tonight. Call it the greatest gift. For when that baby arrived on this earth, so did our hope. Today we're going to spend a little time thinking about how the birth of Jesus Christ impacts our lives today and how it gives us hope even when things don't always go as we hoped. We're going to turn to a passage of Scripture that is not often included in the regular Christmas readings. It's actually recorded in Romans chapter 8, where the Apostle Paul speaks about the greatest gift with these words: "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things?" As we dig a little deeper into this verse, we're going to see that the greatest gift is both a testimony of God's love and an assurance of God's promises. If there's one question that is spooking around in the minds of every human being, it's the question, if there really is a God up there, how does He feel about me? Does He even care about me? Does He know what's going on in my life? And of course, if what's going on in our lives is hard, if we're having troubles, then that question becomes all the more to the front in our minds. I mean, you think about, remember when Jesus' disciples were caught in the middle of the storm out in the middle of Galilee? What did they say to Jesus? They said, "Lord, don't you care if we drown?" I mean, deep down, everybody wants to know, how does God feel about me? If He really knows everything I've said and thought and did, how does He really feel about me? If He knows what I've done, how can He possibly love me? And if for some inexplicable reason He actually loves a sinner like me, how would I ever know it? The answer to all those questions is found in these words: "He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all." In other words, if you want to know how God Almighty feels about you, look into a manger. Look at that baby. That baby is God's love come to earth for each one of you. And recognize that that baby is not simply the centerpiece of every nativity scene. It's not just a cute little cuddly baby in mom's arms there on the Christmas card. That baby came for a purpose. The baby came as God in the flesh to live the perfect life that you and I could never live, and then offer that perfect life on a cross to pay for our sins. That's why Jesus came. He came to die. In fact, doesn't Paul imply that here when he says, God did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all. In other words, He lifted Him up on the cross. You want to talk about an act of sacrifice? There it is. A sacrifice so that we could have a gift. Now maybe you've made sacrifices to give gifts before. Maybe you forked out big bucks for the present that your husband wanted for Christmas. Or maybe the sacrifice you made was going into the women's clothing section at Kohl's to buy your wife a birthday present and hope to goodness that nobody sees you in the women's section. That's not the kind of sacrifice I'm talking about. I'm talking about a father who gave his son so we could live with him forever in heaven. That's love. In fact, it reminds me of a story that one of my seminary professors once told about what he called his most memorable Christmas. It was a Christmas that he was going to celebrate with his son, his newborn son, the very first Christmas. Couldn't wait. So on Christmas morning, he goes in to the nursery and gets ready to pick his son out of the crib, and he discovers that in the middle of the night, his son had died. I can't fathom the pain that he must have felt. And yet Professor Siegbert Becker still called that his most memorable Christmas, because in his words, that's when I knew how much my Heavenly Father loved me, because He willingly gave up His Son for me. Whenever you have hurts, whatever your tragedies in life are, no matter when you're tempted to feel like God is a million miles away and doesn't care, think about that greatest gift. Because God loves you, He has given you His own, His best, His Son. And that's what gives us reason to celebrate. No matter what our situation, no matter whether the church is packed or it's half full, whether you're with your family or you're sitting alone in your living room watching this on your smartphone, we know that God loves us because He's given us the greatest gift of all. The greatest gift is, first of all, a testimony of God's love. But it's also an assurance of God's promises. I think it's interesting that in this passage, after Paul talks about what God has done for us in the past, namely sent us His Son, he then talks about what that means for our future. He says, He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? You see the connection there? This is sometimes called an argument from the greater to the lesser. If this is true, well, then this also must be true. If God has accomplished this one really big thing, namely sending Jesus to rescue a world full of sinners from the separation from God in hell forever, that's a pretty big thing. If He's done that, well, why couldn't He? Why wouldn't He do a bunch of other things for us as well? Or to put it another way, if God has already kept the big promise, I mean the first promise, the promise to send someone to crush Satan's head, If he's already done that, or maybe I should say, since he's already done that, you and I can be sure that he's going to keep all the other promises that he's made to us. Promises that impact our lives on a daily basis. Whether it's God's promise to send his angels to guard and protect us from harm and walk with us wherever we go. Who doesn't need to hear that promise in the middle of COVID? Whether it's God's promise that he still controls the nations, the rulers of this world. Scripture says he's put everything under Jesus' feet to rule for our benefit. What a comfort to know when the world seems out of control. It's not. God is still in control. Whether it's the promise that he's going to, in all things, cause all things to serve our good. Or the promise that when we die, we will be with him forever in heaven. As Paul once wrote, no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. Isn't that the truth? I mean, if you think about it, all of God's promises are built on the first promise to send a Savior. Because God has kept that promise, because God made everything happen just the way he said, a virgin would give birth from the line of David in the town of Bethlehem, Ephrathah. And he'd be Emmanuel, God with us. And he would crush the serpent's head. Because all those things came true, we can be sure that all the other promises God is making about our future will come true as well. In that sense, nothing has really changed. Not when it comes to Christmas. I mean, okay, maybe the service looked and sounded a little different. Maybe your family gatherings this year will be a little bit smaller. But when it comes to the meaning of Christmas, God has given us absolutely no reason to be disappointed. Because God has given us the greatest gift of all. He's given us His Son to assure us that He loves us and to guarantee that He will keep every promise He's ever made. And that's what fills our hearts with joy and hope, even when the circumstances of our lives are not everything we hope they would be. You realize the world doesn't get that. The world looks at that little baby and says, that's it? That's what you're building your hope on? And we say, oh, that's it, all right. That baby is everything we could hope for and everything we truly need. For that Christ child, given by God, given to us, is the greatest gift ever. Merry Christmas. Amen. Please stand.